Let us pray. God of love, the storms of life frighten us. Speak to us and give us peace. Call to us and give us courage. Awaken us with your word so we may serve you without fear. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is from 1 Samuel. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs, and a javelin of bronze flung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse. And he came to encampment as army was going forth to battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. Goliath came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the Israelites, when they saw the man, fled from him, for they were very much afraid. Then he took his staff in hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch, his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. Ruddy and handsome in appearance, the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine and with sling and stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. And there was no sword in David's hand. The word of life. And the Psalter is Psalm 46 in the blue hymnal on page 780. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, God is in the midst of the city, which shall not be moved. God will help it at the dawn of the day.
The nations raged, the kingdoms
The Lord of hosts is with us.
God is our refuge.
Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth.
Makes war cease to the ends of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters a spear, and burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Be still and know that I am God, the Lord of hosts is with us.
The New Testament lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. As I work together with God, I urge you not to miss out on the grace of God. For God says, as at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, and hunger. We have endured with purity knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. In honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and yet as well known. As dying, and yet look, we are alive. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I am speaking as if you are children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the fourth chapter. Mark tells us that Jesus has been teaching all day long, telling parables. He said the reign of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and sleep and rise night and day. Went on to tell other parables. And then Mark says, on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." So leaving the crowds behind, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. There were other boats with him also. And then a great windstorm arose, and the waves were beating against the boat, and it was about to be swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And then Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they said to each other with great awe, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. We all have our storms. We all have those times of struggle and chaos, those times when things are upset and we don't know how they're going to come about. We go through our Hurricane Elsies. Sometimes it's a particular confrontation. It's David and his Goliath. Sometimes it goes on and on and on, like Paul talking about all these riots and beatings and imprisonments and insults. It might just be an argument, but it might be a relationship that's become stormy over a long period of time. Sometimes our storms are slow and long, like dealing with a disease or losing a loved one. Sometimes they're sudden and awful and chaotic, and it's an emergency. And sometimes we cry out to God and we want God to somehow change things, help us, fix it, do something. And nothing changes. It doesn't get any better. It feels sometimes like God is sort of like Jesus, just sleeping through it. And you feel like God doesn't even notice our little boat bobbing on the ocean. God is just asleep, not paying attention. And this story reminds me that the good news is that God is not just watching our boat. God is in the boat. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever storm you experience, whether it's a little argument or a lifelong struggle, God isn't just observing that struggle. God is in it with you. That's part of the mystery of the cross. That's God's promise that whatever we go through, from the littlest thing to an agonizing death, God experiences it with us. God is in the same boat. God is vulnerable and at risk and unsure of the outcome with us. And sometimes it turns out that that's really what we want. Our deepest prayer is not just that God make things better, but that God be with us. Because, in fact, we know not everything is going to get better. Sometimes the relationship never heals. Sometimes the illness gets worse. Sometimes the struggle is something that we don't ever achieve victory in. Sometimes we get a little bit of victory and then a little bit of loss, and it goes back and forth. Think of our struggle for justice in the world. Sometimes it seems like we're not all that much farther ahead of the ancient Philistines. We're pretty much back there, being cruel to children so that we can get our own way. And it feels sometimes like some storms are just not going to get better. The real good news is not that God promises to make every storm go away. It's kind of a misleading part of that story. It's easy to think, oh good, Jesus is going to calm every storm I ever meet. And that's not true. But the good news is that Jesus will go with you in every storm. No matter what. No matter how awful it is. And if it's really awful, you have to wonder, how bad can it be? I'm with Jesus. When I think about our immigration policy these days and how we are being intentionally cruel just to scare people away from coming to this country, I've gone to accompaniment training to accompany immigrants who are going to their immigration hearings, because they can be so frightening and dangerous. People who have questionable status, and even people who have full legal status, are being deported. And it's pretty easy for the government to say, oops, yeah, I made a mistake. And meanwhile, we've sent somebody to Guatemala and have no way to come back. The damage is done. So these immigrants are terrified going to these immigration hearings because they have to show up in order to stay legal, and they're also aware that they could get deported even if they're legal. So we're trained to accompany them. You don't have to know anything about the legal proceedings. You just are there. It's just so that they're not alone. So that there's somebody who cares about them, who's there watching, sitting with them. It doesn't necessarily make things turn out differently, although it has been observed that the judges and prosecutors behave differently when white people are watching. Because the system doesn't value people who aren't white. So when the white people show up, people are on a little better behavior. You know, remember when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, he called the Spirit the Paraclete, which is a word that basically means defense attorney. Not necessarily somebody who's going to judge the outcome of the case, but somebody who's on your side all the way through, no matter what. Jesus is in the boat with you and utterly confident. So confident, so relaxed about this, so at peace that he has fallen asleep. That troubles some people. The disciples are upset, like, Jesus, wake up, come on, aren't you paying attention? Don't you care? And Jesus is asleep. Not because he's not paying attention, but because he's not anxious. He's okay with this. This is all right. Trust this. Guys, settle. When Jesus says, peace, be still, maybe he's talking to the wind and the waves. Maybe he's talking to the disciples. The real good news of this story is that, in fact, Jesus is not only with you, but he's asleep. He's fine. It's not just that he knows something that you don't, although he does. He knows God more deeply than you. And he knows this is going to be all right. And even if it's not all right, you're going to be all right. What's the worst that could happen in that boat? You sink with Jesus. Isn't that what you want? You die and go to heaven. You made it. That's it. The irony is that, remember earlier that day, Jesus was telling parables and he said, the reign of God is as if someone should scatter seed on the ground and then sleep and rise, night and day. And you know that in biblical times as well as ours, when we talk about those who have fallen asleep, we don't mean naps, we mean people who have died. That parable that Jesus was telling was a parable about death and resurrection, about sleeping and rising. And so that night he gets in a boat and he sleeps. Jesus has already died in this great baptismal storm. Jesus has completely surrendered his life to God, as totally as he does on the cross when he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. He's died. He's drowned. He's gone. He's dead. He has nothing to lose. And they wake him and he rises. He is acting out what he's been telling them they need to do. They need to die and rise every day. It's a way of living. When I was little, we used to play these shooting games that might have been cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians or just good guys and bad guys. I don't remember. The important part was just that we shot each other, you know, with our fingers, our very lethal fingers. Isn't it interesting how American culture is just steeped in guns? And basically the way it works is you jump out from behind a tree and shoot somebody, and you have to say bang. You have to do the sound effects, bang, bang. And then, as if that's not enough, you have to make sure they know, and you say, you're dead, I got you. And they tumble and make a terrible noise and die a terrible death. And then somebody else comes along and goes, fix, 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 and fixes them. And then you get up and run around and shoot other people. And so we were shooting each other and fix, fix, fixing each other, running around the park. And somebody shot me, and I died a terrible Shakespearean death. I remember it being in the hills out behind our house in Rapid City, South Dakota, at the edge of town, a long, dirty hill that I could tumble down through the weeds, carefully avoiding the yucca and the prickly pear as I died this terrible death and flopped into the ditch. I think I flopped a little too far because nobody found me. Nobody came and fixed me. And I lay there and I lay there and I finally thought, I guess I'm dead. I've died and gone to heaven. I'm an angel. And I got up and I floated back up the hill. And people would say, bang, bang, you're dead, I got you. And I would say, I'm an angel, you can't shoot me. Went right through me. And I would go fix people. And nobody could kill me. And sometimes I wouldn't fix them. I would just get down and kneel right next to them and say, you know what? You're dead now. You're an angel. Nobody can shoot you. And they'd get up and they'd start floating around. Bang, bang, bang. It went on all day long till we were all angels. I had no idea the theological significance of what I was doing at 6 years old. And now I look back and think, ah, if only I could just remember. You've died. You're an angel. They can't hurt you. You're already with God. You're fine. This storm can't sink you. And if it does, it's just baptism. You just die and rise again. In the 70s, our CIA carried off a coup against the president of Guatemala, and there were death squads and terrible things going on. And the unrest that we created there is still echoing now, 45 years later. In 1980, Julia Esquivel wrote a poem called Threatened with Resurrection. And it reflected on the life of the peasants in Guatemala in those days and how the death squads threatened everybody with death. But because of their faith, they knew if you threaten us with death, you're just threatening us with resurrection. You can't stop us. We are full of life, not death. You can't kill us. We've already died. You already murdered our sons and disappeared our husbands. We have nothing left to lose. That's what Jesus was talking about. When we know that Jesus is in the boat and he's asleep, he's already drowned, and we're willing to be with him in our boat, we have this peace that nothing can shake. And that peace begins to be how we live through every storm, whether they end or not. Years ago, I was at a workshop that Parker Palmer was leading. He's a very famous author and speaker and workshop leader and whatnot. And there were about 50 of us in a circle of chairs in a room about this size. And in the middle of it, he's doing this presentation. Interestingly enough, we were, among other things, reflecting on that poem, Threatened with Resurrection by Julia Esquivel. And he's giving his little talk and about ready to invite us into some discussion. And in the door comes one of the sisters at this Catholic retreat center and says, Mr. Palmer, I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but there's a phone call for you. And they say it's very urgent and it's okay if I interrupt you. Instantly, the anxiety level in the entire room just went up by 150 degrees because we thought, wow, somebody knows that he's leading a major presentation and they want to interrupt him. His house must be on fire. His wife has gotten kidnapped. This is terrible, whatever it is. And you could just feel everybody tense up. And Parker said, thank you, sister. Tell them I'll be right there. And there's this little pause, and we're all going, oh. And he looks around at us and he says, why don't you just keep discussing this material? I'll be back in a minute. And then he stood up and he ambled across the room. He just ambled. He wasn't in a hurry. He wasn't tense about it. He wasn't avoiding anything. He was just like he was going to get another cup of coffee. And he walked out the door. And with every step, you could just feel the anxiety drop back down. Without saying a word, Parker Palmer allowed Jesus in his boat to say to all of us, "Peace, be still. Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And by the time the door closed, we were all in this new place. We realized it's possible to live at peace when something awful is about to happen and you don't know how it's going to turn out. You can still be at peace. It changed the whole rest of those days that we had with him. As it turns out, it wasn't an emergency. The person who was calling was exaggerating not only its urgency, but their own self-importance. We learned about that too. Jesus is asleep in your boat. He's that at peace. It's going to be all right. Not so that you feel good, but remember, it's all so that they can go to the other side. So they've got ministry to do. They've got work to do. And it's going to be hard. And they will be persecuted. And they will be insulted. Those disciples will be jailed and beaten and resisted. And before they even start, Jesus is showing them, this is how you do it. First you die. Then you're ready for anything. Jesus is in your boat. He's asleep. You're good. Will you pray with me? God of grace, help us to trust in the scariest storms that you are with us. You are at peace. And we can have your peace. God of grace, we thank you for your intimate presence with us, even when we feel most alone and afraid. Help us to trust your grace and your presence. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.